The Local Administration and Veteran Affairs Subcommittee will come to order. Members, please be sure to speak into your mic during roll call. With that, Victoria, please call the roll.
Chair Toledo?
Here.
Representatives Barnaby?
Here.
Bartleman?
Here.
Benjamin?
Here.
Daly?
Here.
DeSegley?
Here.
Gio Lombardo?
Here.
Goff Marcy? Harding?
Here.
Joseph?
Here.
Malo?
Here.
Overdorf is excused. Persons Mullica?
Here.
Sabatini is excused. Salzman?
Here.
Snyder?
Here.
Woodson?
Here.
Thank you, members, and by your presence, we have a quorum. I want to remind everyone that the House has implemented detailed procedures designed to make our meetings safer during this present time. I would ask everyone to please silence your electronic devices. This includes making sure any notifications on your computers are set to silent for the duration of this meeting. Welcome, members. It is an honor to serve with each and every one of you on this committee, and I want to thank my amazing staff, Eric Miller. If you don't know him, please take an opportunity to come and meet with him. He is amazing. Normally, on our first committee meetings, we would take the time at the beginning to introduce ourselves. However, since the time is limited to 1 hour, I'd like to get straight to work. If time permits, we will have time at the end to go through introductions. However, I'd like to take a moment to introduce our Vice Chair, David Smith. David, would you, Representative Smith, would you like to?
Thank you, Chair. Just a brief minute just to say what it is an honor to serve on this committee. Look forward to working with everybody, and I know even through these difficult times that we'll do good work for the people of Florida, and happy to be here under the leadership of Chair Toledo.
Thank you, Chair, Vice Chair. And our ranking member, Joy Marcel, Representative.
Thank you, Chair. I look forward to serving with you and all of you, and I appreciate everyone wearing their masks to make this a safe working environment. Thank you.
Thank you. And today we will have a presentation by Space Florida. Since this past June, the U.S. Department of Defense has sought the best location to establish the permanent headquarters of U.S. Space Command. Several communities in Florida applied for consideration, and the proposal for Titusville was one of the six finalists. However, unfortunately, yesterday, the U.S. Air Force announced its decision to locate the headquarters in Huntsville, Alabama. I'll have to visit there to see what's so good about it, but I think Florida is the best. As we will hear, there are still a remainder of opportunities for Florida to seek location of additional Space Command facilities. With us today are Jim Kuzma and Sharon Spratt of Space Florida. Mr. Kuzma will provide information about U.S. Space Command and the opportunities for Florida to compete for additional mission facilities. In order to provide sufficient time for member questions and discussion, we will hold all questions until Mr. Kuzma finishes his update. I will then open the meeting to both questions of Mr. Kuzma and member discussions as members are recognized by the chair. Mr. Kuzma is a graduate of the U.S. Naval Academy and a veteran with over 20 years of service, including several important command positions. He currently serves as Senior Vice President and General Manager for Space Florida. Thank you for your service, Mr. Kuzma. You are recognized to proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And it's an honor to be before this committee, and especially because this committee has been worked so hard to support our veterans, right, with your legislation, which was very important in this this pursuit. I was asked to talk a little bit about Space Command Headquarters and Space Force and the process that we was used to do this. It was a very unique process. I would say that although Huntsville is determined to be the preferred location, Florida is an acceptable alternative location. And what that means is that the Department of Defense will still do all the environmental assessments if for some reason the preferred location doesn't pan out. Unfortunately, that hasn't happened in the last 10 years, but there always might be a first time. I'd also like to indicate that the work of a collective group of folks with Brevard County, Patrick Air Force Base, the Florida Defense Task Force, Florida Defense Alliance, all interested communities because they all supported the Titusville effort, Brevard County, and also our state and federal officials. I think as you might know, when this first came out, Florida was not on the list. Our delegation did a fantastic job in making sure we were considered for the actual selection. I also want to help understand that there's a difference between Space Force and Space Command, and I'll talk about that. I would like to remind everyone that the other five locations were Peterson Air Force Base in Colorado, Kirtland Air Force Base in New Mexico, Redstone Arsenal in Alabama, the Joint Base San Antonio, Texas, and Offutt Air Force Base, Nebraska. It also should be noted that the temporary headquarters for this build will be remain in Colorado for 6 years before it's transitioned to the Alabama site. An overview, though, to discuss the difference between Space Force and Space Command, that Space Command's mission is to conduct operations to and from space. Like other combat commanders, they have areas of responsibility, whether it's Central Command in Central Command or Southern Command down in Central America or Pacific Command out in the Asia Pacific Rim, whereas the Space Force actually looks at providing those forces. So the combat commanders that are in both over in Tampa at MacDill and also Southern Command down in Miami, those are the responsibilities. This command looks more like Strategic Command or Cyber Command because they have their AOR supports all the other commands, as opposed to Space Force, which is much more like either the Marines, the Navy, the Army, or the Air Force. And by that I mean is that they're responsible for training, equipping, and organizing and provided those forces to the combatant command that controls the operations in their respective spot. It's interesting that the mission of Space Command is to deter the aggression, right, in space for peaceful use, defend a nation's economic posture, space combat power, and allied and partner interests. The Space Force that trains, equips, and Space Force to protect and allies and us, their responsibilities are to develop the Guardians. The Guardians are what the service members will be called, by either sailors or airmen, right, or the Marines. So the Guardians in acquiring space systems, maturing the technologies and doctrine for space power, and providing those to the combatant commanders, wherever that may be. It's amazing that basically on the 20th of December was the first year anniversary of the U.S. Space Command. It's been a tremendously fast-paced initiative to bring that to fruition. It also should be noted that there was a big discussion of making sure that it could develop its own culture. The Air Force will not, or the Space Force will not use wings. They'll use deltas. And deltas go back to the 1961, right, when it was a symbol of the U.S. Air Force back then. The colors will be black, right, and they have their own distinctive patches, right, and uniforms. But the requirements for Space Command, right, that we were very lucky that we had 8 communities self-nominate themselves, the first time that we've seen this process used. A self-nomination that there had to be 3 criteria. One was that they had to be within 25 miles of a military base to be able to provide support for the military independence. They had to be in the top 150 metropolitan statistical areas for census data, and that was to ensure that there would be workforce able to support the 1,400 civilians and military members that would be at service Space Command. And they had to have a quality of life index of above 50 based on the AARP index. We had 8 commands or 8 communities that self-nominated themselves and thought they would be competitive and were endorsed by the governor to go forward. Unlike a normal proposal or response, the Air Force used questionnaires to actually select information from the communities. And out of those communities, they were down selected to the 8. R8, where the city of Jacksonville, city of Pensacola, Hillsborough County, Tampa, Miami-Dade, Orange County, Seminole County, Pinellas, and the Palm Bay. It's actually called the Palm Bay, Melbourne, and Titusville, which is Brevard County. Each one of those put forth great proposals, and we're very happy that each one of those communities actually wrote support letters for Brevard County for their submission. The headquarters itself was about, it's supposed to be 450,000 square feet, big building. The timeline was very short. The notifications were about a month for those down selected communities to put information out there. It's interesting that we had started, Space Florida had started working previously about a month and a half before to look at those headquarters, what the headquarters would look like, as well as security, cost, utilities, and layout. And these were provided to all of our communities that were here. The next thing that was done when there was a down select, that there were four mission areas that were selected, right, for evaluation. There was a mission capability, there was a capacity for infrastructure, community support, and actually cost to the Air Force. And in that, in a joint effort with the Florida Defense Task Force, right, and the Florida Defense Alliance and Enterprise Florida, we were able to provide information that fed each one of the communities and actually were used in our competition against the other states. And a lot of things that were looked at in that quality of life included the reciprocity for spouses, schools, school choice, other retirees, retiree benefits, including some legislation from last year in 2019, which we appreciate regarding spouses of deceased servicemen. Each one of those were scored individually, were broken down. So the mission was worth 40 points. The capacity was 30, the community was 15, and the cost was 15 points. That's what we were evaluated on. Brevard County was given 1 month to answer all the questions, including that. The Air Force actually provided, the Air Force, as Patrick Air Force Base, provided information in regard to a separate questionnaire that was provided. And then there was questionnaires regarding the facilities and cost. Once that was done, there were two visits or two engagements with the actual selection team. One was an actual site visit to the site over at Space Coast Regional Airport. I want to note that there was two reasons why. Someone will ask why I wasn't on a base. The size of the footprint could not be supported at Patrick, and there's some operational concerns related to out of Cape Canaveral because of the safety arcs and evacuations of all personnel. But we did get great support from the 45th Space Wing. Space Coast Regional Airport is actually spaceport territory in Florida statute. Part of the requirements were to actually, believe it or not, be able to support transportation and the synergy between the commercial space entities and other space commands in Florida or at any location, as well as the ability to support that quality of life. The second engagement actually was a 1 hour discussion with the team to respond to some of those questions or present our case for the Space Force. We are very fortunate to have the governor lead off the event, and he was introduced by Representative Posey, and Representative Mike Waltz also got a chance to talk about the warfighting capability. We also had the Lieutenant Governor actually close the session for us, and in between we had County Commissioner Rita Pritchard talk about the area and highlighted the amount of shore, right, the culture of the area, the culture of Florida with regards to space. We then actually had a former vice commander at the 45th Waste Wing talk about his experience. He happened to have an exceptional family member, his wife, and he talked about how much support was here in Florida for his family and all the families. We then actually had retired Admiral Paul Saul from the I-4 corridor, technology corridor. We're talking about our tremendous and highly rated universities for workforce and the amount of graduates and where we rank, right, number one in the country for the last 4 years. That was followed up by a Space Florida representative that talked about not only the facility, but also our ability to finance, right, the facility and lease back to the Air Force, as well as other benefits economically. We also were very fortunate to have the county manager at the city of Titusville, Scott LaReese, talk about the quality of life. Was highlighted that Titusville is actually the interface between the environmental and space. And certainly we actually mentioned the 250-mile bike path as one of those examples. We also highlighted the cost of living of new residential areas being built, and that our mean cost for housing was actually below the basic housing allowance for the area. We also highlighted that the cost of construction here in Florida is 0.78, or 78% of what it is in other locations, the mean cost across the country. Finally, we ended with discussions of with Beth Medina, who talked about all of our support for our military, our vets, the reciprocities, the discussion of us starting the Purple Star School and moving through that, as well as the charter schools. And I did forget that the actual superintendent of our county talked about all the programs that are available here, not only in Florida, but specifically to the Brevard County. In moving forward, and that led to basically the evaluation that resulted in the announcement yesterday. So it's unfortunate, but everything that we did for that effort actually supports us very well with what's opportunities in Space Force. Space Force really looks at military capabilities. We have been looking throughout the state and working with all the communities around the state for what capabilities would support the Space Force and their mission in space. I'll date myself a little bit, but if you go back to the James Bond movie, Moonraker, right, we're many generations past that. But clearly, in order for combat in space, you'll have to have robotics, artificial intelligence. We have strengths here in Florida. The modeling and simulation capability here, the Center of Excellence in Orlando, is key to looking at what will be virtual reality training, and that, as well as all those capabilities. So we're looking at capabilities across the spectrum, right, in technology, materials, launch capabilities, satellite production, all the things that are opportunities here throughout Florida, not just in Orlando, not on the Space Coast, but anywhere in Florida where those technologies work or can be applied. And so we're looking very hard at that. Our next steps are actually to go back and have another. We've been very transparent with community engagements. We have a community engagement scheduled for the 22nd of January to look at the process, because we use the same process of community answering questionnaires will be what the Air Force will use going forward for the Space Force. There will be a Space Force Training and Readiness Command. There will be a Space Force Headquarters. I'm sorry, there won't be a Space Force Headquarters, but there will be a Space Training and Readiness Command, which will be a bigger facility. We're also excited because those capabilities do not have to be all co-located. They can be wherever they best fit. So there's a lot also cybersecurity capability across Florida, including Tampa, up through the I-4 corridor, and also up in Northwest Florida, where the Navy actually has their Cybersecurity Center of Excellence. So we'll be going back to that. We really have approached this as a business development opportunity, and we think Florida stands very well in those categories to win pieces and parts, I call them mission elements, as well as what we really hope is that the process will not duplicate the capability that's in Orlando for modeling and simulation. And with that, I really would like to take questions from you because I think that would really answer any of your concerns or delve into any of the information. So thank you very much for that opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Buzma. Members, we will now go into questions and discussions. For a better dialogue, you are recognized. You may ask a question to which Mr. Kuzma may respond directly, or you may make a point for discussion with other members. So, and more informal. Members, does anyone have any questions? Or are you wanting to go to lunch? Yes, Vice Chair, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you so much for your presentation. It is unfortunate that we did not get that Space Command here. I just wanted to clarify, just if you could clarify a couple things for me. It sounds like we still have Space Force moving in. I mean, we're exploring that. And also, what kind of funding are you looking to the state for to solicit more of this to our state? And what kind of funding was in the past to solicit this?
Ma'am, our focus, thank you very much for the question. Our focus was to, since it was to reduce the cost, our primary focus was to reduce the cost by being able to finance, just like Space Florida does for much of the other commercial space opportunities here, and reduce that cost over a longer period of time. In that, we looked very hard at two big things that we thought we had an advantage for. One was the fact that the area building costs were, again, we're at about 22% below the mean across the country. And the other was to go out and procure this instead of through a normal MILCON process to procure and build a building commercially, which then saves another 15%. So that was really where we looked to reduce the cost for that. There was also the Brevard County Northern Economic Zone was able to put 10 years of lease-free use of the facility on the in the proposal or in our response, and that was the basic tools that we had to go compete for the headquarters.
Thank you. Could I follow up, or actually a different question? Yes, could you give us just a quick overview of what we will still have in Brevard County, though, as far as space exploration? Because I know there has been space flights, and has that changed anything, this news?
Well, ma'am, if you go back, when Florida was not on the list, we did not have any Space Force commands in Florida. In that time, the 45th Space Wing is now the 45th Space Wing. And so that was one of the reasons why we were able to be on the list going forward. We still are looking at a manifest of 50 launches a year. I think there were 32 last year. That is the most that's been done. Obviously, SpaceX is driving that. But in a 12-month period, we're looking at 50 launches. It should be noted that the Air Force has stood up for 131 days in prep for that. And that's significant because it used to be very, very launch cadence, but the Air Force has figured out how to basically launch every 2 days or every day, as well as they've been close to launching within 12 hours of its launches. We still have Blue Origin. The Blue Origin facility is nearing. They're supposed to do their first launch in early 22. ULA is still launching. Their launch rate is nominally 8 per year. SpaceX is building a second launch pad out at Launch Complex 39. So they're here. OneWeb, which was actually in financial difficulties, is actually producing satellites again with a new governance structure. A company called Firefly is beginning to, a very small launch companies because the satellites are getting smaller. They will launch from Launch Complex 20. Their first launch is second quarter of 22. A company by Relativity is about the same pace. They will launch at Launch Complex 36. And I think you see that from a launch perspective, it's going to be a great opportunity to see, I think, at least 7 launch companies here in Florida. And now we're working very hard on the supply chain. So, and the companies that we're working with are trying to bring their supply chain to us too. So a lot of focus on that. And we haven't lost anything. We just keep gaining. So if you go back when I came to Florida, which was 2012 or 2008, you only had the shuttle and you had ULA. And the shuttle went away and we have all those launch companies here. And it is a renaissance on the Space Coast. Hopefully I answered your question, ma'am.
Yes, thank you. That's some good news.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Sorry, ranking member. Representative G. L. Lombardo, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Quick question, and thank you for your service. Thank you what you do for the state of Florida. As somebody who serves in the military, I know how important the defense community is to our state and our economy. Just one quick question. By adding these facilities and these missions to the state, what is your projected economic impact to the state of Florida as we add these missions and as all these companies start to come in to support those different military assets and missions?
I do know that as we looked specifically for Space Command, we looked at not only the 1,400 jobs that were there, but there would be another 700 of indirect jobs. And totaled over that eventually over a number of years would be up in the trillions of dollars. Currently now, what we've seen is we have almost 1,000 employees that have been brought in. We have really recovered back a lot of the jobs that were lost from the shuttle. And I don't have the exact number here. We'll get back to you with that, sir. But clearly, when you look at the number of houses that are being built, and we provided this for the Space Command, there are actually 1,700 residents that are being built right now, right? And there's another 3,500 permitted just by the city of Titusville. And so the economic impact of that is obviously pretty big to go through and do. So we are looking at that as a way to do that. That's one of our, obviously, Space Force's goal is to develop that. But I would have to get back to you with the exact economic impact, sir.
Thank you.
Any other questions? I have a couple questions. I don't know if it's too early. Do we know what our score was? You went through the scoring, but did we find out what our particular score was?
No, ma'am, we did not receive, as a matter of fact, to be honest with you, the notification was that there was somehow a press leak, and that's why the announcement. We did not expect to be provided a score. What they had indicated was they just would announce the preferred location and the accepted alternative. And so that's what we received. We did receive from the Strategic Basing Office the offer to actually debrief. In those debriefs that I've been in previously, in previous jobs, they actually are very open and honest with that. And so we really have very little information on what other states provided. And we hope to get that. I will tell you that there was concern because an old Air Force study had most of the communities, well, all the communities that were in those bottom, those 6 remaining, had evaluated schools pretty low. And through the efforts of Beth Medina in the lead with the Department of Education, providing information back, we turned what was either red or yellow to green in our categories. So we knew that very seriously. Would like to be very honest that I know when Lieutenant Governor first went up to talk to Secretary Henderson, who was in charge of this, and one of the generals, they had an honest discussion about where there were some concerns. And I know the Lieutenant Governor reengaged with a letter highlighting where the state had really worked on those areas related to that. And we're very proud to take that to a green category. from what was a, you know, a perceived weakness to those schools in Brevard. And it was very important that we had the superintendent there who could explain the programs that were in place, right, to help support that. One of the things that were very, that was really highlighted was the fact that basically permanent duty station orders, as soon as those are received, the families can start working to register in schools, right, and actually do now online learning. And I think, you know, as a father of four, and now five grandchildren, I think that's really important that the state looks at it that way and is allowing, right, in a transition period to have the families have as much, you know, smoothness in that transition as possible. Thank you.
Thank you. And as we learn more, I'd love to stay posted on any additional information that you may receive from them in your debrief, if you have that. Do you have any?
Yes, I will do that.
Thank you. Do you have any idea what set Alabama or Huntsville, Alabama apart from us? Any particular reason?
I know we always thought that they would be the contender. Huntsville has obviously has a long history of space also. And they do have at Redstone, they have the Army Space Command there. And so I think they had very similar strengths with regards to the synergy with the commercial space folks. I don't think they had a modeling simulation. They may have had facilities that they had built sometime previously. Redstone is on a base, and it has been the focus for I think about 20 years of, you know, significant investment from and growth there. So we're interested to see what that might be, and you know what was the differentiator going forward. But I have no other information other than a discussion that they could use a facility for free while the headquarters was being built. But other than that, I have no idea how anyone scored in the categories. I would say that the one thing that Secretary Henderson told us was all six of the candidates they felt were tremendous candidates and would be able to support the headquarters no matter which one was selected.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Any additional questions? Seeing no further questions or discussion, Mr. Kuzma, thank you so much for joining us today and providing this important information about U.S. Space Command and its facilities. And thank you, members, for your attention and participation. Once we adjourn, please remember to exit promptly so the sergeant staff can prepare the room. And with that, Representative Smith moves, we rise. Without objection, this meeting is adjourned.